Psalm of David. Who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Remember reading that? Dr. Yanga, good to see you after your work. Excellent. Okay, then let's just go through 144 just to be sure. A Psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? What psalm does that sound like? Anyone? What other psalm? Psalm 8, a good Bible student here. Psalm 8. And what passage in the New Testament? Somebody else? Hebrews 1. 1, is it, or is it 2? Jack has the answer. The New Testament. All right. It's chapter 2. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. I think we did read that. Now that I've read it again. 145, another praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. And then Psalm 146, we begin a section of psalms that begin with praise the Lord, each one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs and he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll stop there for now. And I'm going to ask Brother Reeves if he'll come and lead us in some hymns this evening. We have a couple selected, and we'd like to ask you to offer a couple of favorites. It just occurs to me now, brother, there was somebody in this church who asked for a favorite last time that we could not accommodate. And I want to say the favorite was 187, Amazing Grace, but I don't know who it was now. So maybe we ought to sing that one. If that person is here in body, that's good, in spirit, well, I don't know what we can do. But anyway, come on up and lead us in these songs.
We'll start with number 317, please. 317, what a friend we have in Jesus. Our Savior, live in us from day to day. Peace of God, my Father, through thy life. 7, Amazing Grace. In there, if this tune were written today by some mathematician who 10,000 is a large number to John Newton, wasn't it? But we can replace our own number in there, millions, billions. Borrow Carl Sagan's frivolity, billions and billions, no less days. That's amazing. That's amazing. Do you have a favorite? You can only do one. Maybe I should just pick it, which I did already, just in case. Yes, ma'am. 175. And let's stand together, please, as we sing this.
Thank you.
like to have a little time of prayer with you all. I just ask request for myself for the trip starting mañana. I'm going to practice my Espanol. Yo hablo solo un poquitito de Espanol. That means a very, very small amount. So I'm going to be practicing on the airplane, trying to get a few phrases and not to slaughter it too badly. But more importantly than the travel, although I do ask you to pray for that, because it will be about 24 hours end-to-end plane and car ride down from Santiago to Temuco, which is a city of about 500,000, and then it looks like we're pausing there to have our meetings on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then going on to a different location 2 or 3 hours away from there at the GMSA camp, where we'll have the whole missionary family there. And so prayer for travel for sure, but more importantly is that the ministry that I have with those folks would be helpful, edifying, strengthen them. They are off there in the field, and I can sort of sense, like I feel sometimes, I don't hear a lot of preaching. I hear myself do a lot of preaching. Not always the best, but you know, it's helpful to get away a little bit and for those folks to have somebody else do the teaching and just be refreshed and have a little R&R as well. So they're going to be doing that, and I'm going to be teaching some workshops and things. So I'll have a couple of devotionals that I'm responsible for Wednesday and Friday, and then I teach one or two times every day from Saturday to Friday the following week. So I'll do some workshops in the afternoon and preaching in the evening. And Pastor Bill Hickson from Athens Bible Church in Ohio, Ascending Church for the Bronx, and also for Tim and Christina Gosen, he will be traveling down. The arrangements got shifted around. There was going to be another speaker. He's going to be preaching the morning sessions. So it's going to be a lot of teaching and preaching and so on. But so it should be good. I'm looking forward to it in that sense, not in the sense of leaving my family behind, but this time is necessary. So appreciate your prayers about that. I'm just going to ask if one gentleman might pray for that in just a moment. I'll share a couple of others as well. But somebody might stand up and pray for that, and then we'll have other. I'll pray as well for a couple of other folks. We've had the opportunity to hear from Pastor Don Peterson a couple of times in the last couple of weeks regarding his wife's heart condition, which has been very problematic for her. She's had some pneumonia here lately, and she's in a rehab facility in Spring Arbor area to help her recover as much as possible after her hospital stay. So we want to remember to pray for Mrs. Peterson. Also for Pastor and Mrs. Sachs, we had an opportunity to see them on Friday, and also I saw them yesterday again. And Pastor Sachs was looking weak and tired, and his back is really bothering him. You remember he was injured in Thailand, fell and broke some vertebrae years back, and that's reoccurred, not the break, but the aggravation of it. So we'll remember them in prayer as well. We got word also that Carol Matham, who was here not so long ago, Pastor Matham's wife, she has collapsed 2 times in church meetings, and they're not exactly sure what's going on with that, so we want to remember those folks as well. And we've been asked to pray for Bill Howson's mom. Any update today? No, all the same. And also want to remember Darwin Reeves, another heart patient. These confounded heart muscles give a lot of people problems after a few years of living, so we'll pray for those folks as well. All right, let's just have a few minutes of prayer. If I could ask one or two of you men to pray for those matters, we'll just join our hearts and appeal to the Lord. The Lord said if 2 or 3 of you agree on anything on earth, then it will be done for you. Pray carefully in accordance with God's will in these matters. the Mathams, that they'll be able to get good advice about what Carol's condition might be. And in spite of the trial of this health problem, may they continue to minister and give themselves to you every day and every moment that they can for the work of the gospel ministry. Lord, I pray for our fellow believers, not just in our church, but in the surrounding area, in gospel preaching, Bible-based churches, their pastors, their deacons, and other responsible men and women in those assemblies, that you'll watch over them, that you'll give them help and wisdom in whatsoever they need, that they might experience a season of rest and be multiplied as the churches in the book of Acts did for a time after persecution and problems had befallen them. And Lord, in our hearts, I pray today that you will grant us a desire, the desire that will be only and ever for you and you alone. May that never be displaced by anything of self or the world, but that our hearts will be fully inclined to you. Cause us to seek wisdom from the Word of God, from your mouth, O Lord, for the Scripture says, out of your mouth comes wisdom and understanding. Lord, so we seek that tonight, and so that it would not just be on our minds, but as it were in the depth of our heart, in the center of our being, so that we would make decisions that please you, that are discerning, that know right and wrong, that are the best kinds of decisions that we can make in our lives. Each of us, Lord, needs some improvement in this regard. Starting here, we all can grow. We all can do more righteously. But we know that we can only do that with the help of Jesus, who dwells in us by His Spirit. And we thank you that that is the case. May His ministry flourish in our hearts. And then, Lord, also just pray for the ministry to those missionaries down there in Chile. Lord, prepare their hearts for the Word of God that I will be able to share with them and Pastor Hickson, and cause there to be a great edification and a blessing from those meetings. We pray for the business side of the meetings as well, that you will help the mission to make good decisions about its work in the three countries and all that pertains to them. We ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Okay, in the time that we have, yes, sir. That would be wonderful. I was waiting for him, but somebody want to volunteer to do that? Thanks, brother. Amen. Thank you, Mark and Bill, for that suggestion. And I go forward with that confidence. God is a mighty God that we serve, and His program will move forward. And I'm glad to be a part of that, and I hope you are as well. For the next few minutes tonight, I'd like to share with you a little more wisdom from the book of Proverbs, if you'll start in Proverbs 17. I've laid out about 18 to 20 topics from the Proverbs that I want to go over with you, and we've spent a good amount of time dealing with the first one that I selected, which was work and laziness, and 2 weeks on that. And now we're moving to the second topic, which is friends. What kind of friends do you have, or enemies? Some of these you'll say the proverbial statement with friends like that, who needs enemies, I guess, or whatever that saying goes, however it goes. Proverbs 17, 17. Just touch on a few of these this evening in the few minutes we have. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I think you'll appreciate that more if you experience a time of trial or persecution, when you know there's a real brother, a real friend who is there to stand with you and help you. 22:11 talks about this idea of friends as well. These, by the way, are the good kind of friends. This is the subheading in our study, the good kind of friends. Proverbs 22, verse 11, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Good to have friends in high places, huh? And that's what this person has, who is pure and has grace on his lips. Woe to us when the friends of the king are evil and do not have purity of heart. Yeah, frustrating, isn't it? Proverbs 27:6, another good kind of friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You ever had a good friend come along and say, hey, brother or sister, friend, you know, there's something you need to work on? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They're trying to help, not to harm. But somebody who is an enemy can flatter and give you all kinds of expressions of affection or whatever, but doesn't mean anything. It's deceit. It's all that is, just flattery. 27:9, if you just drop down a couple verses, says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. There's another idea of advice from a friend. Sweetness, that is. And it is indeed when you have a good man or a good woman, if you're a woman, as a friend to do that for you. And then chapters 27, still verse 17, probably one that you all know, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That's another good kind of friend. Somebody who is helpful and doesn't just overlook all of the faults that might need a mention or help, or all of the ways in which you maybe aren't thinking quite right. And I have a few of these kind of men here in the church that are just excellent, good sharpening for me, and I trust I for them as well. But not all friends are good. Perhaps you jot these verses down or ask me for them. I can send them to you in an email when you want to share a list with your offspring. You know that, right? Watch out for the kind of friends that you your kids keep. Proverbs 14:20. These are not the kind of friends you want. 14:20 says, the poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. The proverbial situation of the lottery winner who all of a sudden has all kinds of friends and relatives coming out of the woodwork, right? Why? All because of money. That's it. There's nothing else involved. All because of money. Sad. Chapter 19, there's a couple references here, the same thing. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. How do you like that? Guy's down on his luck, as the saying goes, and his friends leave him. What kind of friends are those? Many entreat the favor of nobility, verse 6 says, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Of course. But those aren't the kind of friends you want. 19:7, all the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. If he can't buy them, then they don't want to have any part of it. Those kind of friends flee when you have no money. Back in chapter 18, verse number 24, this is a little bit of a sticky one here. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, let me ask you this question. Does yours say a man who has friends must himself be friendly? Or does your translation have something different? If you have a different one, just let me know. John, right? What does yours say? A man of too many friends comes to ruin. I take that's actually the correct translation of that verb. The verb is a very negative, has a negative connotation to it. It doesn't have at all this idea of being friendly. Does yours have that? Anyone else kind of have that? Has a ruin or something like that? Yeah. That's the idea. A man who has friends or many friends may come to ruin. So it seems to have something to say about a man who has these friends comes to ruin at their hand or because of them. Too many friends, perhaps. It doesn't explicitly call out why, but perhaps too many friends implies the wrong kind and the negative or detrimental effect they can have on the person. There are a choice few who stick really close. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm sure you've had that before, where you've had a friend who's closer than your brother perhaps even is, if you have a sibling or a brother in your immediate family. So watch out the kind of friends. More is not always better. The higher your friend count on Facebook is not always the better thing, is it? Yeah, people use that as a status symbol, right? They boast about how many connections they have, and you know, or if you're on LinkedIn, you know, how many references or what do they call them? Recommendations do you have on LinkedIn? And yeah, so you gotta watch out. Not always good to have all those associations. A related thought. You know, with that many friends. There's got to be some bad ones in the mix, right? My father tells the story of his dad. This isn't directly related, but he says his dad never cared about family history or genealogy too much because he said, you know, everybody, if they go back far enough, they're going to find a horse thief in their family. So, more friends you have, you're likely to have some that may not be as helpful as you would hope. Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Boy, is that good. Or is that good? That is very helpful. Biblical example. I can find it here. 1 Samuel 25. There was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was... Yeah. Naval. Which translated means... Fool. You know enough Hebrew to know that, huh? And the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. And you know the rest of the story. I won't read through the whole thing, but David had provided protection for his young men and the livestock and so on, and is just asking for some return on that investment. And Naval, or Nabal, as we say in English, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. So he was going to get David's sword on him, but Abigail was wise and averted that disaster to the family and to the servants. But Naval died in any case from a stroke or something shortly thereafter. So he was an angry man, a furious man, a harsh man and evil in his doings. And we're told here in the Proverbs, don't make a friendship with that kind of fellow. Why do you think that is? He's going to turn his anger on you? Or he's going to influence you to become an angry person? Harsh and furious in your ways. So don't get involved with that kind of person. Proverbs 27:14 then. We're still on the bad kind of friends here. 27:14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. What does that mean? What's that? Somebody said. Amen. We don't have too many of those amens around here. Not like in some places, huh? Yeah, the idea of this. 27:14. Oh, you're who was this that incited this amen? Was that Dave Yanga? It was the early in the morning part that got him excited, huh? Or was it Luke? They both share that propensity to like to sleep in or something, huh? So early in the morning. Blessing his friend with a loud voice. That kind of idea of a false blessing there, and just boisterous and not really meaningful. How about those that don't care about friends? Proverbs 16:28. Good kinds of friends, bad kind of friends, and those that don't care about friends. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. The same thing in 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. We have to be very careful about this matter of gossip. Talking about other people that is really serving no useful purpose, that which in the end can separate friends. What is a whisperer? You know, somebody doesn't want to get up and they know it wouldn't be okay to just stand up in front of a whole audience and spew out what they're saying. But, you know, to one or two people at a time, it's kind of a juicy deal. You know, it's nice to be able to let people know you know all that information and you share this about that person and then about that person, and they get, you know, against each other because of what you have said. Gossip, separating friends, it's not good. So ask yourself before you talk about someone or something, is this necessary? If Jesus were standing here, would I say this? Is it helpful? Is the person I'm talking to part of the solution or part of the problem? You know what I mean by that? If person A and person B have a problem, and you're person C, maybe you're counseling those people, you don't tell person D because person D is not part of the problem, neither part of the solution to the problem. Just quiet your mouth about it and don't go on and spew it out. It's going to cause more problems and it's not good. 27:10, last verse, and then a couple more examples. Proverbs 27:10. Says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. I'm obviously keying in on the idea of forsaking your own friend or your father's friend. There's the idea of loyalty here to your friends. Don't be making friends and then dumping them, forsaking them. Or your father's friend. There's a family loyalty here. Somebody's kind to your father, then don't you turn around and be mean to them. That's no good. Not good. So, how about Job? How about Job's friends? Oh, dear. Job's friends were at least empathetic for a while. Remember how long they came and sat down with him? It was a week. They sat down and didn't say anything, right? But then when they started, they should have just kept doing that. That's what should have been. But they started talking and things got worse from there. His friends were pummeling him with bad theology and accusing him of being a wicked sinner. When the Bible says very clearly that he was the most righteous man on the face of the earth. He wasn't perfect, but he was more perfect than all the rest. And they were accusing him of sin. Must be sin, Job, that has put you in this bad state. If you were righteous, you wouldn't have this problem. So these friends and the young man, Elihu, comes along and adds to the fuel to the fire. How about, last example here, Rehoboam. Remember Rehoboam? 1 Kings 12, if you don't. First Kings 12:6. Solomon has just died. His son has been groomed to replace him. Rehoboam is the son. King Rehoboam, verse 6, consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" The people had come and complained about a heavy yoke. Lighten the burdensome service of your father and the heavy yoke which you put on us, and he will serve you, and we will serve you. Cut the marginal rates down a little bit here. Make the military service not so harsh. And so he asked the elders, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." There is an idea. A servant leader. If you will be a servant to those people, and you will respond to the legitimate complaint that they have made, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him. Could I say his friends, who stood before him. And he said to them, "What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" And then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, and the king, as the king had directed, saying, "Come back to me on the third day." The king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given to him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men. And it repeats what he had said before. Probably shouldn't always follow the advice of your young friends. Your parents, grandparents, and other elderly folks may have better wisdom for you. And that's what Rehoboam found. He wanted dominion and authority, and he got rejection. Had he wanted servanthood and to benefit his people and to lead them in and out as his father Solomon had prayed, then he would have also had dominion and authority. See? But he did not get it. So watch out for those friends, those young men. Often wonder the attraction in our church scene today about having these tract, I'll call them tract classes. You know, you've got to have the young marrieds and the young marrieds, and then the parents with teenagers, and then the parents whose kids are out of the house, and the teens and the college and singles, and they're all sliced and diced like this. Why not take that slicing and dicing, take one from each group, put them in a class? Take one from each group, put them in another class or something, so that the young people are getting wisdom from the older people and the older people are being able to minister to the younger people, Christians, I mean, not just age, but maturity levels and so on, so that we don't think that, you know, the wisdom left the older generation when they got their gray hairs. You know, we can't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, we're in the age of cell phones and computers today. You know, these folks don't even know what WWW is, right? So that's all really sinful kind of thinking. There's much to be gained from those elders that had that experience, and Rehoboam had rejected that, and he found out what happened. So don't always crave for the advice of the young people, and don't be afraid of the advice of the older ones. It may not just match up to what your desires or lusts may be, but it will be beneficial if they're mature believers. All right, well, that brings us up to 7 o'clock. I have completed my little study here of friends, the good kind, the bad kind, and those that don't care about them, and the fact that we should not forsake those friends and not go with those that are just necessarily young or don't have good advice. Not good. So watch out who your friends are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to look at this study this evening and for the prayers and the songs and the reading. Lord, we thank you for letting us do all of these things. Thank you that we've read almost the whole way through the Psalms now, just a few more to go. Thank you for the room that we have here, the lights, the seats, the heat, the help with the sound system and all. As Brother Bill prayed as well, the relative peace that we have. We are thankful to you, Lord, that you have not permitted any to come in and disturb our meetings or to harm us, as has happened in other churches, or even like this in Arizona. We pray for those families of victims who are grieving now at this loss, and those that are still recovering. We pray for them that you might grant them strength. May it not be a recovery apart from you, though. May they really thank you and never forget that you have spared their life. May they follow you then with all of their hearts. Help us to have the right kind of friends, to reject those that are like the angry and furious types and those that are just flattering, but really look for those, Lord, that are mature and will give us a faithful tap on the shoulder when we need it. We need that help, Lord, from each other. Help us that iron would sharpen iron in this assembly and as we have our relationship and interaction one with another. Thank you again, Lord, for tonight. Help each one arrive home safely and enjoy some restful sleep this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.